We'll be looking at Galatians 6, verses 1 through 5 this morning, continuing on in our series on how to interact with one another as a church and how to function properly as a community, as the bride of Christ, as the people of God, as a local expression of the one true church, and how we can, as we interact with one another, including but also beyond simply sitting in church and listening to the preaching and singing, but how we interact with one another afterwards and how we can serve one another and how we look like a church and how it functions. Now, this morning, there's going to be two main things that we see in different ways that we are to serve one another. First is to be restoring one another. And then secondly, we'll see bearing or carrying one another's burdens. So let's open up in prayer and we'll start working through these verses together. Lord, it is truly a privilege to meet together with your people. It is a great joy. It is something we do not deserve. Knowing you and your love is something that we do not deserve. Yet you have reached out in your love. You have made a way through great sacrifice, through sending your Son, as we just remembered, to have his body broken and his blood shed, so that we could come to you through Christ, become your people, have our sins washed away. And now it is your plan that your people would gather together to worship you. That is what we have the privilege of doing this morning. And Lord, there is a unique presence of yours which happens when your people gather together and come before you in worship. I ask that we would, as we look at your word this morning, grow and learn, that we would see areas in our lives which can be in better alignment with your word, and that we would walk away changed by your grace. We ask these things through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 5. It says, "Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, not in regard to one another, or to another. For each one will bear his own load." So at first reading, if you were paying attention just then, you noticed a few odd things in this passage, all right? Or at first glance, we see we're to bear one another's burdens, but then verse 5 says what? Each one will bear his own load. So that seems to be contradictory a little. Also, if you look at verse 4, each one must examine his own work and then he will have reason for boasting. Well, that doesn't seem very biblical, does it? So hopefully as we look through these verses, we'll get a better understanding and see what exactly the Lord desires for us to take away from these passages and get a better understanding of things that, as we just read right through, and don't dig down a little and study, we might miss. So I hope that we can really pay attention and reason through this passage a little together as we work through. Let's start off by simply starting at the beginning. Verse 1 carries the first major point of this passage, and then verses 2 through 5 will take the second. So verse 1, it says, "Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted." So first we see we are to restore those who fall into sin. And this goes right in line with last week as we looked at a passage where we need to be willing to go to others and confront them and turn them If they are sinning, be willing to turn them back into the right direction, right? To admonish one another, put back into the proper way, into the right mindset. Well, here we see we are to restore those who have fallen into sin. This idea of caught in any trespass. This idea of caught is the idea of an animal being caught in a trap, right, by surprise. So all of a sudden, it's a sudden thing, not necessarily a long line of wrong, but all of a sudden, they have fallen, they have stumbled into sin, they have done wrong. We are to restore them. First, we see some qualifications of how this happens. How are we to restore those who fall, or stumble, or get caught in sin and trespass? Well, A, those who are what are to restore? You who are spiritual. It says, brethren, if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual. So spiritual, it's those of us who are walking in the Spirit, those of us who are not caught by that sin, those of you who are mature enough to restore with a gentle spirit. So obviously, and this comes very practically, right, and logically, if you yourself struggle with the sin that this other person is struggling with, are you the best person to come alongside of them and restore them? Probably not, all right? Does that mean you have no part in it? Absolutely not. Be praying for them. If they come to you, put them in touch with somebody that can help them, right? And restore them and put them onto the right direction. But each one of us, look at the beginning of this verse, who is he addressing? First word of the first verse. There we go, brethren, all right? So is he addressing pastors? No. Is he addressing just the leaders? No. Is he addressing just those who have been saved for 30 years? No. He's addressing who? Believers. If you are a believer, you ought to be what? Spiritual. You ought to be walking in the Spirit. You ought to be walking with Christ. You ought to be pursuing Christ-likeness. That's done by who? God working in our lives. And as that happens, you should be able to what? Restore others and take part in this. Though there are certain times where we may not be fit to, right? Restore, whether it be because of a certain sin or simply an immaturity that is happening in our life at the time. But those who are spiritual are to restore. Also, we see another thing about this restoration, that we are to restore such a one in a spirit of what? Gentleness. So this is to be done gently. Let me quickly remind us, or just go over once again, what restoration means. It is the idea behind putting something back into working order, all right? Or a broken bone back into place, all right? And maybe I've told the story before, sorry. But when I was 9 years old, I was playing soccer, and it was tied, and we were playing against our biggest rivals, and I got on a breakaway, and it was just me and the goalie, and I was dribbling down, and I was thinking about all the fame and glory that I was going to get when I scored the game-winning goal. The goalie came out and tackled me, and I planted my leg, and he slid into me, and he snapped my leg. And after he snapped my leg, I did a front flip and hit my leg again and snapped it even more, right? And it was not in line. It was not in proper working order. So we went to the hospital, and maybe others who are in the medical field know this or just smarter than me. I'm not sure why they didn't set my bone then, but when I went to the hospital, they simply put a cast on me and then sent me home. And later on in the week, I went to my doctor. They looked at the x-rays, and they made a cut right around the break and the cast. And he took some funny-looking plier things, and he pried my cast separating and putting the bone back into place. Do you think that was pleasant? No. All right, not pleasant. Was it necessary? Absolutely, in order for my leg to be working properly. After that, he put a little like clip in to keep the cast in that position with the bone in the right position, and then put a new cast line over the cut that he made. Yes, it was painful, but it was necessary. When brothers or sisters of ours fall into sin or are caught by a trespass, we who are spiritual, which should be who? All of us, need to be ready and willing to restore them, to set them on the right path, to correct that which is wrong, to set it right. But as we do that, we are to do it gently. Let me tell you, I appreciate the doctor, because as he set my broken leg, it was done gently. It was painful, but he did it gently. And I could appreciate that. And maybe, right on point, maybe some of us here have struggled with sin, and we've had a brother or sister come alongside of us and come along to restore us, and you can appreciate the fact that they have done it gently. What is this gentle spirit? The quality of not being overly impressed by a sense of one's self-importance, to have gentleness, humility, courtesy, considerateness, and meekness, strength under control. It is recognizing that the only reason you are not in the same situation is because of God's grace in your life. It's recognizing that the roles being played out at this moment may be reversed a year down the road, right? It's not allowing ourselves to look down upon the other brother or sister and therefore allowing ourselves to be pumped up with pride and be harsh with them. In chapter 5, verse 26, just before this verse, it says, "Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, or envying one another." We are not to be boastful over what? Other people's weaknesses. We are to come along and restore gently. Also, though, lastly, in this verse, we see the third principle about this restoration that takes place. The restoring work is to be done alongside of looking at who? At ourselves. Look at verse 1 here. "Each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted." So as we are watching out for others and helping them, we ourselves must also be looking at ourselves. We can get so busy getting the splinters out of other people's eyes that we forget about the 2x12 hanging out of ours, right? So as we are, by God's grace, walking in the Spirit, as we are pursuing Christ-likeness and able to restore brothers and sisters that fall, we are to be doing this restoration gently, but we also need to be taking care of what? Our spiritual walk and looking at the fruit in our lives. So as we are watching out for others, helping them, we must consider our own selves. Why? So that we too will not be tempted. Why are we to be looking at ourselves? The answer is so that we will not be tempted. This reminds us of 1 Corinthians, right? "Take heed, if any man thinks he stands, lest he what? Lest he fall." So there is a danger if... Now listen to this. There is a danger if we are to fulfill this one another. There are dangers alongside of it, because there are multiple temptations that can take place. If a brother or sister fall, we can easily be what? Pumped up with pride by looking at their downfall and think, "I don't fall in that area." Is that a temptation to sin? Yes. We can also be tempted by doing it in a harsh way, restoring them. We go to restore them and we think we're doing the right thing, we're restoring them, but we can struggle with not being gentle. I wonder, "How come you fall in this way? I can't believe you did this." We can become harsh and sin ourselves.
Or we could come alongside of him. Maybe it's something that we've never struggled with in our past, but a brother or sister falls near you and all of a sudden you feel the temptation to do what they did. So as we get to know one another better, and as we begin to serve one another and take the one another's in Scripture seriously, and therefore we attempt to restore one another, and that can only happen by what? Knowing each other on a deep level. There are temptations that come along with it that we must be careful to watch out for. That we need to be on the alert and looking at our own hearts as we do these things. And secondly, now we see we are to bear one another's burdens and therefore thereby fulfill the law of Christ. So look at verses 2 through 5 now. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. So hopefully we can make clear what's happening in these verses. All right? Number one, the command is very, very simple. We are to what? Bear one another's burdens. All right, we are to bear, or if a more current word probably would be carry. All right, carry one another's burdens. The word here, burdens, though, and we'll see this later on, is different than the load or burden in verse 5. All right, there are two different words here. And the word here, burdens, is something that is of extreme weight, largely oppressive, something beyond normal stress of life. Okay? So it's not like carrying a grocery bag. All right? It is something that is beyond normal pressures of life. So we are to bear one another's extreme burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. This bear is, once again, pick up, carry one another's burdens. So when we serve one another in this way, we are actually fulfilling or bringing about or exemplifying Christ's law of love. Which was what? Jesus Christ. What are the two greatest commandments? Love God and love others. So as we bear one another's burdens, we are doing what? We are showing true love for one another by giving of ourselves for them, by looking not on our own things, but on the things of others. We are fulfilling the law of Christ. We are exemplifying what Christ himself came to do, which was give himself for the lost, which was to do the will of the Father. So we are to bear or carry one another's extreme burdens and therefore, or thereby, fulfill the law of Christ. But once again, we have some subpoints, right, which we already filled in one. We are having the privilege of fulfilling Christ's law. But another subpoint under carrying one another's burdens is we are to bear burdens of others. How? Humbly. Let's look at verse 3. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he what? He deceives himself. So when we think we are something, it is deceitful. When we help others and carry their burdens, we are not being extraordinary. We are simply following what Christ has commanded us to do by his grace and by his what? By his power. And we've touched on this a lot lately. But Philippians 2 says what? That it is God who both works the willing and the doing. So if you have a will to carry other people's burdens, a godly will or desire to carry other people's burdens, who gives it to you? God does. And if you're able to fulfill that desire, you have the power to do it, who gave that power to you? God does. And last week, we talked about the fact that as we love one another and serve one another, It is by, and use our gifts given by God. We use our gifts by God's grace according to his power for whose glory?
His glory.
So here, if we think we are something because we help another person with their heavy burdens, we are deceiving ourselves. We are not being extraordinary. We are being worked in by God. And we are simply fulfilling or following what Christ commanded us to do, which was love God and love others. And then we see in verse 4, we do see something. It almost seems like it's contradictory, right? In verse 3, it tells us, don't think of yourself as anything. If you think you're something and you're actually really nothing, you're doing what? Deceiving yourself. But verse 4, it says, each one must do what? Examine his work, and then he'll have reason for what? Boasting. So let's make sense of this now. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to another. This examine is to test or prove. We must consider our work truly rather the work of the Spirit in our lives. And then we will have reason for boasting in regard to ourselves alone. So what are we commanded to do here as we bear or carry one another's burdens? We are to bear one another's burdens in consideration of the fruit in our own lives. So we are having the privilege of fulfilling Christ's law. We are to bear burdens of others humbly, and we are to bear one another's burdens in consideration of the fruit in our own lives. Why is this? Well, he's making the point because God understands that we are what? Sinful. And though we are being changed by Christ, we are still what? We're still in our bodies. And as we help others and we see their weaknesses, and as we come alongside of them and help carry their burdens, what are we very often tempted to do? Compare ourselves to who? Them. In order to make ourselves feel good. In order to make ourselves look good. It's like very often you're tempted to do what? Share prayer requests. Just so you can pray for this person more specifically, you rattle off their sin issues. And how does it make you feel? Makes you feel pretty good, doesn't it? We have sinful tendencies in those areas. But by God's grace, we ought to be focused on who? Others or ourselves in this area. And that as we look at our own lives humbly and consider the fruit that God is working in our own lives humbly by his grace through his power for his glory alone, then we do have reason for boasting in consideration of our own lives, not our own lives compared to weaker people. Not in regard to one another. And this does give us reason for boasting. But it has to be proper boasting. If we boast, we're to boast in who? In the Lord. We've memorized verses on this, right? All this goes in line with rejoicing and boasting in what God is doing by his grace in your life. Not comparing your life with the downfalls of others. Not comparing the fruit of the Spirit in your life compared to maybe the lack of the fruit in the Spirit of other people's lives, or as they struggle through this extreme heavy burden. We are not to look down upon them. This last phrase, not in regard to one another, reflects the heart behind restoring and helping carry burdens. We must never take advantage of other people's struggles to make ourselves look or feel good. But if we are fulfilling the law of Christ, of loving others and giving of ourselves for the better of others, not looking upon the things of our own selves, but the things above others. For as Christ left his throne in heaven, became a man, being found in fashion as a man, being finding himself as a servant, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why? For who? Others. So as we carry one another's burdens, we do it out of love for them and not to make our own selves feel good. Not to make our own selves feel godly or extra special or extraordinary, but simply following what Christ has commanded us to do, recognizing that the fruit that we can boast in is of who? Of the Lord. And lastly, we see, for each one will bear his own load. This word is different. All right? This word, and I'm going to do my best on the pronunciation, is fortian. All right? It is the idea behind a soldier's backpack. All right? That it is a... If you look at soldiers, they have a backpack that they ought to carry, that they ought to be able to carry, and that they themselves must what? They themselves must carry it. All right? The other word is baros, or an extreme weight. So we must, as we go through life, we do have a load to carry, and this load is a military pack which a soldier is able to and must carry on his own accord. So we must not boast in our ability to carry on in life without others to help carry our regular duties, but we need to be willing to both help carry and allow others to help carry the extreme weights that come in life. We do this humbly, graciously, and dependent upon the Lord. So why does he add in this verse 5? Well, once again, it's to keep us humble and to be focused as we are helping carry one another's extreme burdens. That is never an excuse to what? To neglect our own responsibilities, number one. It is never an excuse to boast as we carry our own regular burdens that God has allotted to us, because we're carrying our own and the extra weight of the extreme burden that somebody else is going through. No, the burden you're carrying, it's regular, it's normal. God has given it to you to carry yourself. Also, can apply to the fact that you see, ooh, other people are supposed to carry my burdens. If I'm supposed to carry other people's heavy burdens, other people are supposed to carry my burdens. Well, no. This verse does not negate yourself, self-sustaining or carrying your own weight, right? God has allotted to us, each of us, a pack or a burden to carry ourselves. So for we each have our own pack allotted to us, which is our duty to carry. Verse 5. So let's sum up these two main things, these things that we can bring home from the sermon. Number one, we need to be ready to serve by restoring those among us caught by sin. We need to be ready to serve by restoring those among us caught by sin. And how do we do that? Well, we ourselves must be walking with the Lord in the first place. We must do this with a what kind of spirit? A gentle spirit. And we must be careful to not sin ourselves by looking and considering our own hearts as we restore others. And secondly, we need to be ready to carry one another's significant burdens. We need to be ready to carry one another's significant burdens. We do this remembering that we are obeying Christ. We do this with humility. We do this glorying in God's work in us and not comparing ourselves to others. Why? For we all have our own load to carry. I want to give a quick cross reference. Matthew 12:30, Christ says, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." Now, he's talking to who when he says that? His disciples. Do you think their yoke was easy and their burden was light? How many of them died for the Savior? So why does he say that? Well, you look at the context. This does not mean that life would not be hard, but rather Christ is, he says this right before verse 30, he is gentle and humble in heart. And as you follow him, he, the gentle and humble one, is alongside of you and with you. Therefore, that which is allotted to you is easy and the burden is light. Why? Because Christ himself is humble and gentle. And what are the main ways that we are to act as we're restoring one another and carrying one another's burdens? Humility and what? Gentleness. Fulfilling the law of Christ. You see the connection there? It's pretty neat, right? We are able to follow Christ. Why? Because he is humble and gentle. And therefore, we are able to carry our own pack. And as we carry our own pack, we are to be restoring others humbly and gently. We're to be carrying other people's burdens humbly and glorying in what Christ is doing in our lives and the fruit that he works by his grace, by his power, and for his glory, not our own. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning, and I ask that this morning we would walk away with an understanding of this passage. We need your Spirit to make known to us the truths of your word. We need your Spirit to enable us to understand, not simply understand, but to go out and do that which you want us to do according to your word. I ask that this church family here be a church family that fulfills the law of Christ. That we would be ready and eager and walking with you so that we can gently restore our brothers and sisters who are caught by sin. And Father, that we would be humbly walking with you, focused on your work in our lives and not the downfalls of others, so that we can carry the extreme weights of life that come into people's lives, come alongside of them and humbly and gently help them carry those extreme weights and those burdens, that we would be looking upon the things of others. We would be serving others just as Christ served us. We ask these things through his name.